I don't know if you know where this quotation came from. I've showed it more than once, and I think it's so profound and everything. I want you to pay attention to it because I know the author pretty well, and I think this really sort of sums it up. He says, imagine trying to understand American history without knowing the location of Jamestown, Plymouth Rock, the Great Lakes, the Mississippi River, Mexico, Canada, or Washington, D.C. Now, just try it. You're studying American history, and you're not allowed to talk about where these places are located. You couldn't do it. Now, the next paragraph says, knowing the location of Mount Ararat, Mount Sinai, the Jordan River, the Red Sea, Jerusalem, Corinth, Euphrates, Gethsemane, and Babylon, etc., opens widely the biblical teaching of God's dealing with mankind. This study will enhance your ability to understand God's Word, and I believe every word of it. Now, that profound individual who wrote that, it's only wrote one good paragraph, couple of paragraphs ever in his life, and I know him real well. His name's Dan Jenkins. But I believe that's the heart of what we're trying to say. Now, to illustrate that, look at the next slide. The next slide says, here's Native American tribes. You want to talk to American Indians about American history? You want to deal with any of that? You recognize the map, do you not? But that's where the Indians are. You don't have any states at all on that. And so what you have is a geographical place with a historical thing that lays on top of it. Look at the next map, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. And these are not slides that I've produced, but slides that that were available on the internet. But can you see all of that? It's a bit dark for you to be able to see it. If you want to see it a whole lot better, go back and look at the slides of the things on these TV cameras back here. Anybody see where Michigan is? Can you read up there where Michigan is? I know it's where it's supposed to be, but I don't know if that's a place called Michigan. And look down here. Look what they've done to Alabama. You know, that's called Mississippi. Isn't that amazing? I mean, whenever you begin to look at that, and maybe it's the next slide that really illustrates this, and that's the Louisiana Purchase. You want to talk about the Louisiana Purchase? That's the slide I'm talking about. You see where Alabama is on that map? I don't know why I would look for Alabama, but where's Alabama? You know? That's where they got that humpback, you know that's the way you spell Mississippi. Did you learn to spell Mississippi? M-I crooked letter, I humpback, I. I think that's the way you spell Mississippi. And where's Alabama on that? And up there, look up here. Where's Michigan up here? It's not there. That's the Louisiana Purchase. What I'm trying to illustrate is the thing that we're going to try to illustrate today. It depends on what part of the Bible you're reading, what period of Bible history you're looking at to understand Bible maps. And I think, Dee, I see you looking back in the back at your Bible maps, and I understand that because those maps in the back, they are confusing to so many people. If you've got maps in the back of your Bible, you're trying to find something on there, and it's just not there. Why? Because on the map, you have a listing on the map, sometimes in larger letters. This is a map of the way the world was. And so go back to the map of where the American Indians are. They wouldn't have any idea if you said, what did Delaware... What did Delaware? She wore a New Jersey. They would not have a clue what you're talking about. You understand, do you not? That kind of language and everything. And so if that, and that's not a Bible verse, but if that verse were in the Bible and you were trying to figure that out and you're over there in Old Testament history, you don't have Delaware. You don't have New Jersey. And you've got that same area. That's up where those particular Indians lived at that time. That's where the colonies were before they ever were states. And I think the Louisiana Purchase was what, 1800 and does the map say 3 through 7? I used to know the year until I saw the year up there on that map of the Louisiana Purchase. But that's Lewis and Clark's expedition that you can see in the red marker that's there to give you some idea of American history. And isn't that a crazy? You talk about Lewis and Clark and their expedition. What'd they do? You got to have a map to understand it. And so you talk about Moses leaving Ur and going to Haran and then going down to the land of promise. That doesn't mean anything to you. And that's why in American history that we understand, you need to have the map that was concurrent with that period of time. The geography is not going to change after the flood. It doesn't change at all. And so you got all the land that's there, but they got different names. And that is so confusing. Well, it's only confusing if you're using a map of where the American Indians lived. You know, and it's only confusing if whenever you look on this and try to find Alabama on this map or try to find Michigan on this map. Well, I just never understand Bible maps. All right, let's just see what period of history this Bible map is depicting. Now we go from that, we go from that to the next slide, and that's the slide that we've already seen, and that is the Old Testament view of the world. And that's, if you're looking at the map, generally, that's the Old Testament view of the world. Now, one place that is mentioned there in the Old Testament is not on any Bible map that I think you would have ever seen. And so, for example, talk about the story about Jonah. Here's Damascus. I mean, here's Nineveh right up here on that Euphrates River. Euphrates River's been there, you know, at the location where it is now since after the flood. And so you've got Jonah. No, go back to the other slide. You're one too early. You've got Nineveh up here, and Jonah is down here. He's in the northern kingdom of Israel. He goes over to Joppa and gets on board a ship. Where's that ship going? To Tarshish? Where's Tarshish? Way over there. Why? It's the edge of the world. Tarshish is way over there on the western side of Spain and Portugal. It's way, way over. And you know, if you've got a flat world, you go three miles out from Nineveh and you'll fall off the earth. You understand? If you got a flat earth, that's what his understanding was. I'm trying to get away from God. I'm going right to the edge of the universe, to my world. And so he buys a ticket to get all the way over to the place where if he'd gone 3 miles farther, he'd tipped off the flat earth. You understand? That's transposing what we understand about a flat earth world and all the misunderstanding. I'm not a flat earther, okay? I want you to understand that. But that's the mindset he had. He's trying to get away from God. But that's the Old Testament world. Now, here's what I do when it comes to the matter of Bible maps. You see a little marker right up there? That is a really important part of the Mediterranean Sea. And that is my marker that I use whenever I'm looking at all those maps that are over in the back of the Bible. Which map am I looking at? I'm trying to figure out what map I'm looking at. And so let me see if I can illustrate what we're talking about. And that is, go ahead and put that next slide up, because that's the boundaries of the promised land. The Lord says, from the river of Egypt, and this place has slipped a little bit because it didn't take up that land, but there's a little small river there called the River of Egypt, all the way up to the great river, the River Euphrates. And God specifically mentions that geographical location when he's talking about the promised land. River of Egypt is not the Nile River, but there was a smaller river there called the River of Egypt, and that's the promised land. Abraham never had it, But how could you study Bible geography? It's just a bunch of words, isn't it? He left Ur. Where on earth is Ur? And he goes to Haran. Where on earth is Haran? You don't, it's just words. And whenever you read it, it's a two-letter word and a five-letter word, and you don't have a clue what was happening. And so Abraham's down here in the city of Ur. Look at that river, Euphrates River. Is that important? You'd better believe it's important. It's a marker. It's a marker that you need to think when you look at a map. Where's the Euphrates River? And so it's a marker that you can use. Now then, you go from there. He goes up here to Haran, and then he comes down here to the promised land. And God says, every place that you go. Now, we've used that before, but I just got to thinking about the American Indians and a map of the United States of the American Indians. You could not describe America to those Indians who lived back there. That was their land. The Europeans were not here at all. They have no knowledge of it. You say, now that's where the Creek Indians lived, or that's where the Cherokee Indians lived, down in Cherokee territory. Well, Cherokee means something to us. When we say Cherokee, We got one little burg there, right up in the smoke. That's not what it was to American Indians. It was a geographical location, and it had that name. Now then, let's go from a map of the Old Testament to the map of the New Testament, and get a New Testament view of it. And so, when you get to the New Testament view, where on earth with the Euphrates River? Well, it'd be right over here. Now we can get almost over here to where Tarshish is. We're not over there to the end. That's the Mediterranean Sea. And we've got Italy there. And here is Spain. And so Tarshish would be right over there in this map. The map is just backed away and shifted. And so now you see the New Testament view. But you know, I mean, Babylon is not important. Literal Babylon's been destroyed. The Lord said, when I destroy literal Babylon, it'll never be inhabited again. And so, Babylon is mentioned figuratively in the book of Revelation, but Babylon does not exist. It's like in American history, or world history. Napoleon met his demise at Waterloo. Where's Waterloo? Well, if you're British, you may have even been to Waterloo. It's just a name. It's just a word. But it wasn't a word to him, and it wasn't a word to those individuals who know European history, or those who have lived over in that part of the world. And so you get over to American history, you talk about Plymouth Rock. That means something. But the Plymouth Rock means nothing more. I mean, there are a lot of rocks in our world. There's the Rock of Gibraltar, and there's the Plymouth Rock, and there's rock and roll, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You understand what I'm talking about? We got all sort of rocks in American history. And so you got to look at what time you're talking about. And so this is the New Testament view. The Old Testament world was from this point way back over in this area. That's where the Tigris and the Euphrates River come down. That's the Old Testament view when you get to the New Testament. Go ahead and look at that next slide, and you'll see what I'm talking about that marker. You see that marker that is up there? That's that little corner of the Mediterranean Sea. When I look at a map, show me where the Mediterranean Sea is so I can get oriented in it. And I always look for that corner because it's in Old Testament maps. And it's in New Testament maps. Now, there's another marker up there. You see that other little red arrow that's there? What's that pointing to? It's the Dead Sea, right? It's called the Salt Sea. And it's the Sea of Galilee. And so now you've got the New Testament world. And so when you look at a map, trying to find right there. There's your marker right there. And then try to find to find this place, because what you have when you get, and this is where we're headed, to the life of Jesus. Now we're not quite there, but we're going to, while Jesus is on the earth, we're going to ignore all of this area. we're going to ignore all of this Old Testament area, and we're going to zoom right in. So look at the concept of zooming right in. Now then, you're going to zoom right in, and this map does not have the Sea of Galilee or the Dead Sea. It does not have that on the map, but that's your marker. And I believe the next slide shows that. No, the next slide where it zooms in. Well, go back to the previous one. I'm sorry, I'm going too quick. Go back to the previous slide. There's another zoom down there. You see, there's the Dead Sea, and now we zoom down here into this area. Why do we zoom into this area? Because of the next slide. The next slide shows where Egypt is, and it shows. And so here's a marker that I use. It's that triangle that I draw right across here. That's where Mount Sinai is. So when I'm looking at Bible maps, those maps that are in the back of your Bible, if you really want the Bible to come alive, I really encourage you to look at Bible maps. I think they really, really open up. And if you're going to understand that beginning paragraph that was so brilliantly written, you know, I'm putting all that in quotation marks about a great scholar and everything. I hope you know that. That's not arrogance talking. I wasn't bragging on myself, but I thought I wrote a real good paragraph then, don't you? But that's the way you understand it. And you will not understand the Bible fully, or you will not really be able to go deeper into Bible study until you get this concept of the things that are there. So when you get down here and you get zoomed in, you've got Egypt and you've got the Red Sea. Now then, let's go back up to zooming in on that first map, not go back up to the zoom, but look at the next map, because now we're going to zoom in. We're going to forget the Old Testament world. We're going to forget the Euphrates, the Tigris. We're going to forget Egypt, and we're going to forget the Red Sea and Mount Sinai. And there it is. There's our marker right there. Now, what's this a map of? Well, you see the heading that is on this map. I sure hope it's down at the bottom there. The seven nations of the Canaanites. Now, I love this map, and I want to thank Steve Beilich for talking about Bible rivers and mountains and everything. This map shows a part of the geographical aspect of the land where Jesus lived. You've got to have that understanding. And so in this, and I'm glad it's got the mountainous areas, because way up here, you've got these high mountains, areas, snow-covered mountains all the way up here. And then you've got a valley, and there's your Jordan River that comes right down here. And look how low-lying that land is. In fact, almost the lowest place on earth, I believe the absolute lowest place on earth, is right there where the Dead Sea is. And so you've got mountainous areas, and so you've got all of these mountains that run down the entire length. You've got this one mountain that comes out here, and look what's there. There's the plains of the plain of Esdraelon that means nothing. That's where Jezebel died. That's where Armageddon is. Armageddon's a geographical place in the Old Testament. You won't know that. But that right up in that area that I was just pointing, you've got Mount Carmel, where Elijah had that contest. And you know, those who are a part of the Tuesday morning class, you know, we've been talking about Elijah as he has the contest with those prophets. All of a sudden, that story takes on meaning. And then there's that plain area, and it's low-lying compared to all the mountains there. And it's a low-lying plain that goes all the way over toward the Sea of Galilee. And so that's where Elijah was. Now, Elijah was not only here. If you talk about Elijah in Bible geography, after he has the confrontation with the prophets of Baal, Ahab and Jezebel, remember that conversation he had, the confrontation that he had? What does he do? he runs as fast as he can because Jezebel said, if you'll be dead by tomorrow night, and the Lord tells him to leave. Then I see Elijah running, you know, with his coattail in the wind, if that makes sense. It gives you he's getting out of there. Why? Because she's got all of this army of that northern kingdom, and he's headed all the way down. Guess where he goes? He goes all the way down here to Mount Sinai. That's where Elijah goes. But if you're not acquainted with Bible history or Bible maps, it's just names. And he goes, you know, he goes from West Palm Beach to North Palm Beach. Well, I said the word north. That won't help you. He went from Palm Beach to Royal Palm Beach, or he goes to North Palm Beach, or he goes to Palm Beach Gardens. You got that? Yeah, you live in this area, you know every one of those palms that are there. You know Palm Beach Country Estates. And you got all of these palms that are there. And so when I use that, that's not name places, that's where you live. But when you read the Bible, it's where these characters lived. If you don't understand where Elijah was and how far he ran, it had been a famine for 3 years and 6 months, and now it's about to start raining. And so he leaves after the confrontation with the prophets of Baal. He leaves Mount Carmel, that mountainous area that's right here on the seacoast, and comes right over here, headed over into this place, and that's where where he meets Ahab and Jezebel together. And Jezebel said, "You're a dead man, and you'll be dead this time tomorrow." You're talking about what's this deadline that Trump's come up with for the Hamas and everything? It's that kind of thing, you know. And she said, "You're going to be dead." And the Lord tells him, "Get out of here." And he leaves. What's he been eating? Well, he's done all right while he's up with that widow. Where's she? The widow of Zarephath. Where on earth is Zarephath? If you don't understand that he left here and went all the way up here, does that say the word Phoenicia? Goes all the way up to Tyre and Sidon. That's amazing. It's rather interesting, just a thing that I've discovered in putting this lesson together. Ever heard of Tripoli? Ever heard of from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of... Is that the Marine song? Is that the Army song? I can't remember what that song was. Where's Tripoli? Tripoli has the word try in it. Try, trip, you see the word try? It's got the word polis is. That's the word city. Tripolis, metropolitan. Indianapolis, you see the polis? And so there were three cities that they combined up there to become Tripoli. And I did not know this until working on this lesson. They combined Tyre and Sidon and a third city, three cities. And so that's Tripoli. Isn't that amazing? That's Bible geography. All that is Bible geography. Now I know where Tripoli is. Why? Not because I had any idea where Tripoli was. I would have thought it'd been on the north coast of Africa. Or is there a Tripoli down there too? I'm not sure. But you understand. But that's what Bible... They're not just names. They are events that happened there. And so Elijah's been up here in Tyre and Sidon. He comes down here to have this confrontation. He prays that it might rain. And by the time he gets over here, it's a thunderous rainstorm that's come. That tremendous, tremendous storm that is coming. And they barely make it off the mountains till they get over there to Jezreel. That's geography. Now look at that map and spend time enough to understand that Jerusalem was what right down here. Where's Jerusalem? Well, in my mind, here's where Jerusalem is. You see the north end of the Dead Sea? Just come right straight over there. That's my marker. I know where Jerusalem is. Well, it gets way over to the mountains. You've got Mount Zion, You've got the Mount of Olives. You've got all of those mountains over there around the city of Jerusalem. So you could take this map and slide down in that. I want you to look up there to where the city of Jerusalem is, because here we have the seven Canaanite nations that are mentioned to Abraham. Abraham knew these nations. If you talk to Abraham, he'd know where the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites and what was it Brother Marshall Keeble said? He'd quote all of these, and he said, you know, he could memorize them at one time. I had those seven nations memorized. I think I probably turned around and look at it and stir up some dust that's back here and find these seven nations. But I remember Brother Keeble when he talked about this. Remember Brother Marshall Keeble? Some of you heard him preach. I suspect the greatest preacher that's been on this earth in my lifetime. Imagine converting 50,000 people in your lifetime. If you preach 50 years, that's 1,000 people per year. How many is that per day? In his lifetime, he converted 3 people every day that he lived. That's pretty good. And he had a way of saying things. If you ever heard him, I probably heard him preach 50 to 75 sermons, going up hearing him preach. And he was a black preacher, a time of segregation. And Brother Keeble said about my grandfather, you know, John Jenkins said he's done more to evangelize the blacks in North Alabama than any white man on this earth. And that's not a racial statement, that's just the way he described the world in which he lived. But Brother Keeble would list all these, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all of those. And then he would add all of those other ites. I love that expression. So if you read about the ites in the Bible, they're likely one of the Canaanite nations. But now the one we want to look at on this map, do you see that name right up there? I don't know if you can see that J in Jebusites or not. I didn't see the EB better than I can see the J, because it's the coloration of the map sort of hides that J as I begin to look at the map. The Jebusites live there. Jebusites, where did they live? In an area that Abraham was familiar with, Salem. You remember Abraham meeting somebody who was king of Salem and prince of a priest of the Most High God from Salem? Who was that? That's Melchizedek. Where's he from? Salem. Salem's not on that map. You could put it on that map, because when the Canaanite nations lived there, there was a place known as Salem. Why? Because, Melchizedek, is a part of this nation. And so you look at a map and you say, well, I wonder where Salem is. Well, guess who occupied Salem? The Jebusites did. Now, there might have been more than one Salem. Anybody know any places in Tennessee named Salem? Any places in Arkansas named Salem? It was a very common name. So which Salem you're talking about? I'm talking about the Jebusite Salem. Wait a minute. I'm not going to say the I. I'm talking about Jebusalem. That sort of rhymes with something you know. Jebusalem. You got it? Do you know where Jerusalem gets its name? From the Jebusites. They were in Jebusalem. That was the Salem that had the Jebusites there. And so that place was called Jebusalem. Isn't that remarkable? Now, Jerusalem is not important. It does not become the important city in the time of Abraham. It does not become an important place. You'll not read about Salem again in the book of Genesis, as far as I know. And so we get to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Salem's not mentioned, and for sure, Jebusalem is not mentioned. We get to Moses. Where's Jerusalem? Not there. And so if you look at a map and you're looking at the journeys of the Israelites or the journeys of Joshua taking that land, it might have Jerusalem there, but it was not known as Jerusalem when that map was there. It's a map that was drawn so you can see where Joshua comes and takes the promised land. Jerusalem was not there. Jebusalem was there, but Jerusalem was not there. Not during the period of the judges. Jerusalem is not on those maps. It was not an important city. Do you know who makes Jerusalem? Do you know who finally takes Salem away from the Jebusites? It's King David. And King David made that the capital city of Judaism. Talk to the American Indians about Washington, D.C. Isn't that amazing? Talk to the folks at Jamestown, those pilgrims who came, about Washington, D.C. They would not have a clue what that's all about. You know, they knew where Jamestown was, and they knew, where some of these other places were, but it was not important to them at all. Washington, D.C. was not. It was there. Didn't have a name. It was not the capital of America. Isn't that amazing? And so when you look at Bible maps, you've got to say, and fortunately, the Bible maps that I've seen have a writing on them. When you look at those maps in the back of your Bible, if you've got maps in there, find out when this map was written and what its purpose is. But there were the seven Canaanite nations that were there. Let's go ahead and look at that next slide, and we'll look at the same area at another period of time. Wow, that doesn't show the mountains. No, it's not a mountain. It's not a geographical map. It's not intended to show, but can you see the Dead Sea? Is that your marker? Okay, what do you have here? Well, you start looking at it, and look at this map. Has it up here. It says, has the name of it. No, it doesn't tell what this is. But do you recognize Ephraim and Manasseh and Judah and Benjamin and Naphtali and Asher and Gad and Dan? You recognize that? Those are the sons of Jacob. Well, would they understand what you were talking about if you're talking about? Now, that land that was given to Manasseh, they wouldn't have a clue. They were back there before there ever was any of the division of the promised land among the tribes. So let your mind ignore those now. Joseph gets the Jews down into Egypt. How do they get out? Moses leads them out across the Red Sea down to Mount Sinai. Remember that triangle that we looked at before? And then came right up to the promised land. And then Moses was actually instrumental in conquering all of this land on the east side of the Jordan River. Moses did all of that before he died. Now, it is Joshua that takes them across the River Jordan and divides the land. And the Lord had already specified in the days of Moses, this is where this tribe will be, this is where this tribe will be, given the boundaries that are there. And that is interesting. Once they took that east bank of the Jordan, some of the Jews said, man, this may not be the land that flows with milk and honey, but we've not seen any place like this. We want to have this part of the land. And so you've got Ephraim and Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh. All right, let's see if we can find that up here. Here's Gad. Here's Reuben, Gad, and You see that blue color is the same color as this Manasseh. And half of the tribe of Manasseh said, we want to live over here. And Moses and Joshua says, you can do that, but you've got to send your armies to go help take the rest of this land. And so for a war that lasted 7 years, Reuben and Gad and half of the men of Manasseh cross over the Jordan, and they're part of taking the promised land. Now then, you see where all the lands are? You've got to understand there is a name that's here that is really important, and that is Judah. Because that becomes a name for that land when the tribes are there. When Joshua is there, when they're dividing the land out, they don't really the name Judah doesn't really become important until we get over to the time of Solomon's death, Saul, all of the judges, then Saul, David, and Solomon. When Solomon dies, that whole nation is divided. And so you've got a southern part. We'll look at a map there in just a minute. But that southern part is called Judah. And the northern part, you remember how I remember where the I is and where the J is, which one is northern? Israel and Judah. I's and J's, Israel and Judah, when Solomon dies. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom. I could not remember which one was which. I'd be reading about Judah, and I'd read about Israel, and I knew them. I knew what they were talking about one of the divisions of the northern kingdom, and I can't remember which one is which. And then all of a sudden, I thought, I's are above J, so Israel's above Jaws, or above Judah, I'm sorry. And I love my crazy way of remembering better than your good way of forgetting. I used to have that good way of forgetting it that you're trying to use. And you may be smart enough that once it gets in there, your head's like a tar bucket, and anything that hits in it sticks to it. Let's look at that next slide, because we're now going to look at something else, and that is what we're just talking about. This is the extent of David's rule. Now, whenever the judges are ruling, that's that previous map. The judges are in that previous map. But the promised land was to be all the way from the river Euphrates. And look what's right down here. There it is right there. The river of Egypt. That's the promised land. And so now, David just continues to expand and expand and expand his kingdom. And so the maps changed. The land hasn't changed. But when you're looking at maps in the Bible, or whenever you're reading the Bible, don't just look at a name. If you don't know where that name is, here it is on a map, take time to find it. You know, you can Google maps, and several of these maps I've got, I've just Googled the map. Show me a map of the extent of Solomon's kingdom. Well, this is David's kingdom. Well, go ahead. I think the next one shows the extent. But don't go yet. Back up. Because now you've got Judah and you've got Israel. They're not divided yet, but you recognizing that when David is on the throne, there are those tribes that are really supporting David. And, you know, David reigns for 40 years, but the first 7 years he reigns over Judah. It's only the last 33 years that the northern kingdom, they wanted Saul's son to be king. And so you've got not a geographical location, you just got a division of those tribes into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Okay, look at it. And I think the next one shows the extent of Solomon's kingdom. And look how big that kingdom is. I'm telling you, it is massively huge. And his power extended on and on and on. Now, this is a freebie. I don't have a slide to show it. Do you know where Mount Sinai is right here? Yeah, well, it's down here. Remember, there's the Dead Sea. Come down here. You remember I pointed out that little triangle V shape that's down there? right up here on this end of that triangle is a place called Ezion Gibbon. Solomon had a navy, listen to this, that went from that arm of the Red Sea. We know the other side where they came out of Egypt. You got that other arm over here of the Red Sea. You've got the other arm over here, and it's called the Gulf of Aqaba, is another name of that place. He has ships that come, and they come and they sail all the way down. They get out in the ocean, and they go all the way over to India. They knew Solomon in India. That's the extent of the knowledge. You know, if you want to talk about world kingdoms, you've almost got to list Solomon's kingdom as a world kingdom. And you read about the wealth that Solomon has, and you will begin to see that. Look at that next slide, and it shows what we're talking about, and that is the division of the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. What's that? That's after Solomon's death. Same location, same geography, but now you've got to have Jerusalem on there. You see Jerusalem on that map? Yeah, on this map. It's got a star there. Why? That's the capital city. That's Washington, D.C. That's the capital city. When's that happen? David makes it the capital, and it remains the capital. When the northern kingdom starts, what do you have there? Samaria. We haven't got the map of Jesus, and that's where we're headed next week. We're going to come back in and focus on the life of Jesus in Palestine, in the promised land. And so all of the maps next week will look at this area of the Israel and Judah, but we're going to jump from 900 B.C. to the year 30 A.D. We're going to the same geography, totally different layout of land. You don't have Israel, you don't have Judah. Now, you can talk about it geographically, but that's not the division. It's not the, it is not the map divisions. I think that is a stopping place, but let's go to the next slide, and let me just show you what we're talking about. You may have to go to, there we go. Nations present at Pentecost. Now, we're jumping all the way to the New Testament. I want to show this because I may not have time as we talk about this. On the day of Pentecost, and it says down at the bottom, there were nations from Parthia, Medes, and the Elamites. Where's that? Hit the next slide. Parthian. There they are. There's Parthia way over here. There were there Jews from Parthia, Medes, and Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia. Next slide. Judea. Cappadocia. Next slide. Go ahead and show Cappadocia on the next slide. Pontus, go ahead and show it. Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and then down in North Africa, Libya and Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, and then Crete, the next one, Crete and Arabians. That's where the church started. They all were there at Pentecost. And they left Pentecost and went back to their homeland saying, the most astounding, you're not going to believe what we saw. Amazing. So when Paul's making his missionary journeys, that's not the first they heard about it. If these Jews, if they ever ask a Jew, how was your vacation to Jerusalem this year? They've got slides to show you everything they saw. That's it for today. We'll take up here next week with the life of Jesus.